Hello and welcome to Up the Villa podcast. If you are new, please subscribe and just check out our sponsor, what we've got for the page now. We've got a sponsor. Europe's best football is back this summer for the Euros. Avoid a Marouane Fellaini bush in your midfield and clean up your midsection with Manscaped. Proud sponsors of Up the Villa podcast. Be a proper lad this tournament and shave your bits with the best and global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, Manscaped. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With this exclusive offer, 20% off and free worldwide shipping, use the code UTVPODCAST at manscaped.com. Yeah, get 20% off Manscaped products using the code UTVPODCAST. And our like target for this video helps the channel grow, helps us get in with the algorithm. If we can get to 100 likes, that would be much appreciated, and subscribe to the channel. So it is the big one on Tuesday. England v Germany. Justin is very, very excited, as you can see from his face. But yeah, it's a massive one. I've been pretty critical of England and Southgate, especially through this tournament. But I do think we are going to bring it for this game. We're not going to get a better opportunity like the World Cup to reach a major final with Holland going out as well. I know every game is difficult in international football, but the draw has opened up massively for us and it's a massive opportunity. So, Hannah, how have you felt like the tournament's been going, and are you excited for the game?
I think everyone naturally, as an England fan, has this like deep-rooted cynicism where you have to be really critical of everything. And I would probably fall under that as well. But I am trying to be positive. So I think so far, obviously, not conceded a goal, three clean sheets and two wins and a draw. I mean, it was quite an easy group, wasn't it? So I feel like we haven't properly been tested yet, and I think that's what concerns me most. I think Tuesday night's game might be the toughest one yet. And I think probably my biggest criticism is just that it hasn't been that show-stopping, entertaining football that I think all England fans want to see. You get to this stage in a tournament like this, they don't come around too often. You've got a young, exciting squad, and you just want to sit down with your family, your mates, wherever you are, and get really excited. But I don't know if it's just me, I haven't had that. I'm not like really thrilled. Whether that's the squad selection or what, I don't really know. It's a lot of 1-0 like scraping wins at the minute, but feeling positive. But like I say, we've yet to be really tested, and I think Tuesday night against Germany will be the first proper chance for Southgate, especially to prove a point that we are really taking this seriously, and are going to put out some good performances to get far in this competition.
This is the game for me. This is the game where we showcase what we're all about, and we do have the opportunity to do that. If we put in a massive performance against Germany, get through into the quarterfinals, we should be steamrolling into the final with that momentum, really. I just hope that the selection is right and it's not too structured and too focused on Germany. I hope we are on the sort of the front foot with that selection. Justin, patriotic vibes here. What are
I've
your
decided
thoughts?
it's going to be positivity all the way now. I've been very, very critical of Southgate and the way he's sort of attacked this tournament up to now. But from now on, it's positivity all the way. Our record, having said that, our record actually as a country after the group stages is very poor. I found out today we've only actually won one game after the group stages, and that was Euro 96, and we went on to get to the semi-finals. Apart from that, we've lost every single time when we've got out the groups. So it just shows how hard it is, and tonight's result, Holland getting knocked out after they pretty much were really good in the group stages, weren't they? So it just goes to show it's almost two competitions, isn't it? It's getting out the groups and then the competition starts. I love this is where proper tournament football begins now. This is where there's no excuses now. You have to go and perform. So this is why I'm going to back Southgate and the lads. I'm going to put aside my club thoughts about players and Jack and whatever, and I'm solely focusing on England winning this game on Tuesday. It is the hardest game we've faced so far by a country mile. Although I don't think Germany have been brilliant. I think they're struggling up front, hence why they've recalled Thomas Müller to the side. And I watched them the other night and they didn't pull up any trees really, did they? And I think, you know, Havertz hasn't done that well in England. So I think we can really have a go at them. I think if we're positive and get on the front foot and start well, get an early goal, I think we can beat him. I really do. You know, as I say, you pretty much see, I'm pretty patriotic. You know, I just want us to do well in this tournament. And like you say, looking at the draw now, it's massively opened up for us. While there's no gimmies, as the Czech Republic have shown tonight, then, you know, at the hardest team in our side of the draw now is Germany, and we're playing them in the first sort of knockout game. So, you know, if we can get them out of the way and build momentum and build, you know, a good performance in that game, then we should go on to good things. I mean, Sweden or Ukraine in the round after, you'd fancy our, if we beat Germany, you'd fancy our chances to knock either of them out. And then it's looking like, is it Czech Republic or Denmark there in the semis? So, yeah, it has massively opened up, hasn't it? I mean, the other side of the draw, Belgium, Portugal, Italy, France, Spain, all really, really tough games. But we can only play one of them now, and that's in the final. So, for me, I think this is a huge opportunity for our country. I said from the start, what a good squad we've got. I've said what a fantastic bunch of players we've got. What a great attacking bunch of players we've got. If Southgate can just harness that and just let go of his you know, his reticence to go at teams. I really fancy us to beat Germany on Tuesday and then go really deep into the tournament.
A few clients were asking me actually at work this week, who I think's going to win the tournament. And my answer was, it could be anybody still left in the tournament. I get the vibe. It's going to be a little bit like when Greece won it.
Denmark?
I've got a funny Portugal. It could be like a Sweden, or I don't know. I've just got a funny vibe. It's not going to be who we're expecting. And we've saw today, like, Holland went out last night. Italy didn't look too great, did they? And they've been
knockout football, isn't it? And knockout football, as we know in England, the FA Cup, the biggest cup competition in the world. Anything can happen. And this is why it's so exciting. I wish the whole tournament was knockout. You know, I wish they could get rid of the groups, but I'm with you. I think anyone can win it, and we are certainly in the mix, 100% in the mix.
Ryan's been having a bit of a mad one this weekend. You recovered?
Yeah. Not really much. I mean, I just beat my stack me all day, but yeah, I'm fully fit for the podcast.
It's been very difficult this week to track down for this for these podcasts and the thumbnails,
isn't he? Well, stag do last night, bumped into a Harry Kane lookalike, and he guaranteed me he's scoring. So I'm lumping on it. But yeah, I'm changing tactics as well, mate. I'm back in Southgate. I haven't gone to the extreme of Justin. You do look like one of those extras in the Vindaloo video, bouncing down the street with Keith Allen.
I'll recreate it after.
Yeah, I think so, mate. I think so. Yes, I'm on board with Southgate now. You know, I've accepted now that we're not going to get the football we crave with this set of players. Are we going to see Grealish and Foden on the pitch amount? I don't know. But I'm starting to believe in tournament management that Southgate keeps going on about. And for me, I haven't really enjoyed it. I'm like Hannah. I haven't got that buzz. I've not enjoyed any of England's games. I've not enjoyed the build-up to them, the selection debates and everything. So with this one, I'm going to be relaxed. I'm going to enjoy the next couple of days, enjoy the build-up to the game, and hopefully enjoy the game. Southgate surely is after a bit of redemption for what happened in Euro 96. He won't tell you, will he? But it must be on his mind. You know, how good would it be for him to come back as England manager and right them wrongs from that penalty miss all them years ago? And like you say, I think we can get at Germany. You know, on paper, we've had a really successful group stage, an easy group stage. We haven't conceded a goal. We've got 7 points. Whereas Germany, they conceded 5 goals. Yes, they played very, very well against Portugal. But like the Dutch, that, you know, I was very envious of the way they're playing, but they've gone out today. So this keeping it tight and grabbing these 1-0 wins, like Portugal did, that, you know, they didn't even win a game until the semi-finals. When they lifted it, and Greece absolutely shit-housed it 1-0 as well. And Spain, I know they smashed Italy 4-0 in the final, but even there, you know, there was only scraping 1-0 wins as well. As you know, they were playing great tiki-taka football, but still it was tight games. And I'm backing us. Like you said, Luke, the draw has opened up and our route don't look too bad. We'd be naive to think that Sweden and Ukraine would be an easy game if we get through this, but let's go for it. You know, it's at Wembley. We've only got to go to Russia for the quarterfinals, and we're back at Wembley, so we're at home. So we should be going for it, and hopefully we do.
Yeah, and to be fair, I have watched a little bit of Germany. My early observations was that they lack that sort of presence up top, don't they? That there's not really I know Muller's up there, but there's not really a recognised striker. Obviously, you know, years gone by, they used to have Klose, Podolski. I thought Werner was probably going to start for them this tournament and be running behind and stuff, but that's not been the case. Kroos is having a pretty decent tournament. The wing backs look quite dangerous for them as well, and that's what I was saying earlier. I just hope we don't go and try and sort of match Germany. I'd rather us sort of implement our formation on the game. How do you see the lineup going, Justin?
God, no. God knows with Southgate, I think we'd all pick a different lineup, wouldn't we, if we all sat down and wrote it down? I don't know. I think it all really depends on Mount and what happens with him. I think he basically intimated after what had happened the other day that it's going to be very, very difficult for him to play on Tuesday because his isolation doesn't finish till the midnight. So he's only got match day really to have any time with the squad. And I don't think they'd do much on a match day anyway. So I don't see Mount having any, he won't be involved at all, I don't think. So it's just basically he's going to keep Sterling because he's scored our only two goals. Kane's a definite to start. And then it's just what formation he goes with. Will he switch it to three at the back? Will he stick with a four? And who plays? You know, we all want Jack to play. We're all desperate for Jack to play. I think there's been a little bit of murmurings in some of the press saying that Jackie's going to start. I really hope he does. Because I think he's the bloke that can open it up for us, you know, and tight games where you want, you know, I've watched the game tonight and a lot of the teams lack that player that can carry the ball and open teams up. And we've got one right there, sitting there. Use the bloke, you know, use him. Keep Kane up the top. That's critical for me. Stop dropping so deep. When he's 50 yards away from the goal, he's never going to score, is he? So stop trying to play like you do at Tottenham. Play totally different. Got to go up top. You've got to play, lead the line. Get players around him and just be positive. Get on the front foot. I almost don't care who plays, to be honest. I'd love Jack to start, but whoever starts, it's about mentality. It's about how he tells them to play. And they're all more than capable of dictating the game. They're all more than capable of taking the game to Germany. Like you say, don't wait for them. Let's go to them. Let's show them what we're all about. Let's put a marker down. Because if we was to beat Germany comfortably on Tuesday, then the teams that we'll face in the next two rounds afterwards, hopefully, they would be thinking, I don't want to play England. I don't want to play England, because this is our chance now to stamp our mark on the tournament. The group stages have gone. This is it now. This is the only thing that matters, is winning these games. And I don't care how we win them. I don't care if it's a 15-14 penalty shootout all the way through. It doesn't matter now. It's just getting over the line and getting into the next round.
There's quite a lot of pressure on Southgate for this game, I think, as well, because there was rumours of him having that new contract as well. So if he wins, he's going to be buzzing and the nation will probably be buzzing, won't they? If we do lose, there's going to be massive, massive pressure on him and a lot of questions fired at the FA and fired at Southgate as well. So, Hannah, where do you stand on Southgate's position?
It's a very controversial one, isn't it, I suppose? I think when we spoke a few weeks ago before the tournament started, I said something along the lines of, if we don't get far in this competition, it will be like a tragedy and he'll have to go. And I don't really think I've changed my mind. So if we lose and get knocked out at the first challenge, then I don't know how you can excuse it with the quality in the squad, the time to prepare. You know, we had a whole year Do you know what I mean? With the pandemic, he's had that time to think about it, to plan for every possible situation. The result, he's got the best resources we've probably had in years with the players. We've got the home advantage throughout most of the competition. We've had an easy group stage, and like Justin said earlier, the fixtures that we could potentially have going forward are also generous. So it wouldn't be harsh for him to depart, shall we say, because people in this country are so passionate about football. Even if you're more of a club football person than you are country football, when England are on, everyone, it's all anyone can talk about, all anyone can think about. And if you, after the group stages, drop out, then how are you going to justify that to the great British public who are thinking it's coming home? I don't see how it will go down at all. So, and I'd probably be one of those people. I'd be like, well, if he can't do it now, when's he going to do it? Then you have to wait another year, 2 years, 4 years for him to get another shot.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying, because as an international manager, you're judged on your tournament football, aren't you? You're building up every 2 years for a major tournament, and over those 2 years, that's when you sort of get your squad together. You're looking at all the players. Yes, some are informed, some aren't, but that's a long time to prepare for your next big test, really. And I think he has done decent things, like the last World Cup, sort of like he put the penalties to bed, didn't he? The mentality around that was improved, wasn't it? You could tell he was doing like a lot of due diligence, sort of like how to perform at a tournament. And I think we saw signs of it did actually work, didn't it? But I think now when the squad's got totally better, we can all see the talent that we've got. There's no excuses there, really.
I think he's took a big gamble. He must have an 11 that he fancies to go into this knockout. And he's managed, he said it himself, hasn't he? Tournament management. He's managed that squad. Don't get me wrong, whether it's Carl Walker that plays, Reece James that plays, Kieran Trippier that plays right back, there's still quality right backs. And we've got a quality squad and we've got quality players in every position. And no one's really let us down when they've come in, but he must have a format. He must have a team in his head now to take us forward in this group stage. Now, if we fall at the first hurdle, you're going to look back on them first three games. And if Southgate had a plan just to keep everybody fresh, just keep them all ticking over, you know, taking Harry Kane off twice, that would never happen with Shearer or anyone like that. So obviously he's sparing him minutes and he's managing it well. But if we do fall, it's going to completely backfire on him and he'll be judged on them three games. And them three games, it's not worthy of him staying on for the World Cup, really, is it?
It's amazing how critical that Germany game is when you think about it. Because let's say we win, then the first three games are totally forgotten about. They just become part of history where we waltz through the group stage. That's all we'll ever remember is we waltz through the group stage, then we beat Germany. That's all you remember. And however far we go, that's the Germany game will be the pinnacle of it. If we lose on Tuesday, then those three games, we just highlight how bad we were in all three of them. And we were pretty poor in most of them games. So to top off by losing to Germany, it could actually be a horrific European Championships for him. So I don't know how he can go back to the FA and then put that in front of him and go, you know, I'm happy to sign my new contract, lads, because that would be a pretty poor CV to show them, wouldn't it? So that Germany game is unbelievably critical for him in his job and for us as a country going forward, because don't forget, it's only 12 months to the World Cup. So this is probably why they're thinking, let's give him another contract, because we don't want to be bedding another manager in the next six months. So we've got to qualify for a World Cup and then play the World Cup. It's such a short gap now for the next major tournament. They'll be praying he can get through against Germany and have at least a bit of a run to the quarters or the semis. And then, you know, there's no worries about him keeping his job then, is there? But you get knocked out comfortably on Tuesday, added to the three poor performances before that, then the fans are going to be calling for his head and it'll be a really big headache then for the FA.
I mean, go on, Hannah.
All right. I was just going to say, I think it's like a double-edged sword situation, because if you think about club football where You have week in, week out, you're playing one or two games. You've constantly got a manager that's seeing the training all week and then the games each week. You constantly have that ability to monitor what's working and what's not. So Southgate doesn't have that. He's seeing these players for short chunks of the year and then having to make the decisions. And whilst we sit here, obviously we know what we would want to watch, what why we'd want to play. He's obviously got a smaller time frame of what he's working with these groups. So we're watching these players perhaps all year and he is not getting to work with them all year. But then on the other hand, he's also got all that time to work on it and to plan and to, you know, he's got how many people in his backroom staff to work on it. So he's got all the time, but perhaps not all the practical time to work on it the way that you would at club level. So I don't think by any means it's an easy job, but I think when we watch these players, we know what we think would work because we perhaps watch all these players each week on the telly or when we go down to the stadium, and he's sort of piecing it all together in different ways and trying to make it work for 4 or 5 weeks of a year. So I think that's part of the problem, is that people don't understand that sort of difference in management styles. And I'm one of those people as well. I find it really difficult to think, why is he not picking this person or why is he not playing this way? And then I have to realise this is a completely different ball game to what we're watching in the Premier League, the Championship. International football is so much different. And I think people might forget that. I just thought I'd add that in there.
No, I think that's a very good point, because and that would point to why he always sticks to his favourites, because he doesn't get a long time to work with them. So the Kanes, the Sterlings, the Rices, the Maguires, the Pickfords, he has to, in his head, he has to have that nucleus in his team because they're the ones he's worked with the most and they're the ones that have done it for him. Whether you like any of them players or not, they've took him to a semi-final of a World Cup. So obviously in his head, you know, they've done that for me. So I'm going to trust them to do it again for me in the next major tournament. But we find it difficult because we see the likes of Grealish and the players like that and Bellingham and you know, these young players coming through. And we just want him to go, throw them all in, just throw them all in, Gareth. You know, they're all good enough. They're all really good enough. But in his head, he's thinking, I can't throw them all in because I've got my structure. I've got my team. You know, I might be able to throw one or two in. And this is why they have to force their way in that team, which sometimes is very frustrating to watch, especially with Jack.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, the one little annoyance for me is that, like, he's still, you know, he must be watching Grealish tear it up in training. And he still weren't picking him at the start. That was my thing with him. But you know, I get it. It's a difficult job. But let's hopefully he can get the job done, get it right, and put in a massive stamp on this tournament on Tuesday. So we'll go around. We'll give our score predictions for the game. I'm gonna go 1-1, and I think we're gonna win in extra time. Justin.
4-2 England.
Oh my God.
Standard. Why even ask him? We knew what it would be.
Even England, Germany, and he's gone for it. Hannah?
My score prediction. So I think we're going to concede our first goal, just to start on a negative note, but I think we're going to win. I'm going to go with a 2-1 England win. Grealish is either going to score or assist one of those goals.
Love it. Ryan?
I'm going to go Harry Kane, 1-0. He's due a performance. I remember Michael Owen doing something similar in the Euros where he went all the group stage about hardly having a sniff and then scored in the quarter. So
you're sticking to your shithousing, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm lumping on. Tenor's going on that, so show me the money.
So, yes, so we will be back. Well, we kind of will and we won't. For the fan reaction for this game, I'm actually going to London, so I'm going to be watching it down there, getting pissed. So there'll be some sort of reaction coming out probably after the game. But yeah, let's hope we can do it, and let's hope we're back for another fan preview, match preview of an England game in this tournament as well. So thanks for watching, subscribe, and we'll speak to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Come on, Gareth. Come on, the lads.